This is Susan Allen, editor at St. Norbert College, and I'm here with my colleague and friend Donald Taylor. Donald has a long, long history with the college and has served it in many roles as student, as professor, as curator, as significant scholarship donor, and now in retirement is still a regular fixture on campus. And a member of the Curmudgeons Group, of which more later. Donald, I think you have a increasingly rare distinction. I believe I heard you tell me one time that you had met the founder, Abbot Pennings. Can that really be true?
Can it really be true? Well, I certainly hope so, because I remember it. I was about 11 years old at the time. My brother was thinking of joining the Norbertines, and the family, visited the campus. My brother said, "Would you like to meet the abbot?" And we said yes and went over, and the abbot was sitting on a park bench.
Abbot Pennings.
Abbot Pennings himself, yes. The very first abbot of the Pier Abbey. Sitting on a bench, smoking a cigar and praying his rosary. And I believe that was his last year in his life, so I did get to meet him. He didn't have much to say to us. I think we were interrupting both his cigar and his rosary. But there, as you said in the beginning, it's becoming a more rare distinction of somebody who has met the founder. And then he was president for something like 56 years or something like that.
Yes, he started young and he stayed the course. And you were 11?
About 11, then? Yeah, because I think it was 1955, and I was born in 1944.
That sounds like an intimidating experience for a small boy.
Well, yes, I don't think I said anything to him. And at that time, you would address the abbot as Father Abbot, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And my brother was even fairly young at the time. But.
And he was not the last president you were to meet.
No, I've met them all.
All eight presidents.
All eight, yes. Both you and I have our cheat sheets to help us remember the order, because memory does get a little slippery as time goes by. I transferred to St. Norbert as a student, as a junior, in 1965, and Dennis Burke, the second Norbertine president, was obviously the president at that time. I actually got to know him much more when I was the curator of the college's art collection, and he was in his late 80s and early 90s, and because he arranged even for a donation of a piece of art to the campus, and I would visit him over in what was called a priory at that time, whatever its name is now, St. Joe Hall,
St.
maybe.
Joseph's Hall. Yeah.
And being as elderly as he was, it would take a little while for his memory to catch up. But once it did, oh my gosh, all the details that he knew, and what an engaging man. Plus, a very intimidating person in that he was very tall.
Yes.
Whereas Bernard Pennings was very short. So there was quite a physical distinction between the two of them. And then I graduated in 1966, 67, and I think Dennis Burke retired in either 68 or 69.
Okay.
And then the first lay president, Kristen, came on board.
Robert Kristen was
his
name, I think.
And I think he was here about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've remembered since we've last spoken is I believe I met him in Prangy's department store downtown and also read some articles in the local newspaper, the Press Gazette, about President Kristen's doubt of whether St. Norbert was going to survive in
really?
The ensuing years. And I would read that and I said, oh, no, please, this is my alma mater. Don't start talking like this. That was pretty distressing to read that.
So you were not on campus at this time.
That is correct.
Hence the shopping encounter.
I was in grad school and then teaching at UWGB.
Okay.
Because I was an academic for 41 years.
Well, thank goodness you ran into him in Prangies, or you would not have your complete set.
What would we do? I'd have to make up a story.
Yeah.
And then the next president was Neil Webb, mm-hmm. who had been a psychology professor when I was a student here. And then, if memory serves me correct, he was the first vice president of the college.
Okay.
And then he became president. And if I remember, he served exactly as long as he said he was when he took over the job, that he was going to be president for no more than 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And he retired at the end of 10 years. And I think an awful lot of survival of the college can be attributed to him following the Kristen era, mm-hmm. which was a time of turmoil in this country. And mm-hmm. Vietnam War and all the social upheaval, cultural upheaval and all that sort of thing. And Neil was a steadier person. He had a nickname, too. Uh-huh. His nickname was Spider.
Spider Webb.
Yes.
Oh, that's very Norbertine. St. Norbert himself being associated with a spider.
Oh,
that's a story for another time.
Yes, right, right. You have to get that story from somebody else, probably yourself, not me.
So after Neil Webb must have been Mannion?
Yes, Thomas Mannion.
And I've met him. He's the first one I've met.
And he's still very much alive, whereas Neil Webb and his wife were killed in an airplane accident. But I came to work at St. Norbert in Mannion's second year. Okay. I came to work at the college in 1984. So he was still pretty new for this institution. And I think everyone can rightfully credit him for the massive building of structures on campus. He was very successful at that. And a very presidential looking man, but not a great appreciator of the arts, which is my field.
He built walls on which you could hang your art.
There we go, all right. That's a good rationalization. I'll go with that. Actually, the art faculty had then President Mannion to Old St. Joe Hall, which was a previous grade school, to show him what our needs were.
Mm. And yes, you were working over there for some years.
Yes, yes. Yeah. A building that no longer exists, unfortunately, but was built the same year as Boyle Hall, which was the second building on campus, 1916. And it was a building with a lot of character, shall we say. Complete with bats and wasps and things like that who used to fly through the rooms. But students really liked it. They sometimes called it the art ghetto. And so then I worked with, under President Mannion's tutelage, or at least his executive position at the college for all the years until he retired. And then we got Bill Hines.
Yes,
and Bill
a lover
Hines.
Of the arts, I believe.
Yes, very much so. That's a point I was just going to make. Thank you for doing it for me, because he had his own art collection, and he was very interested in exhibitions. As a matter of fact, he would come over to certain gallery openings, and I was the director of the art galleries as well. And there's an interesting transition in terms of art on campus in that the college finally raised the money to build a new art building, the Bush Art Center, at the end of President Mannion's term and the beginning of President Hines' term. And so President Mannion wasn't interested in coming to showings and openings that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been here many times and I never saw him. But President Hines would make his presence known.
Oh, interesting.
And he was... he came in an interesting time, just the beginnings of the construction, and those are tense-filled situations.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, he had some of his own art collection in his office suite because Main Hall had been renovated during Mannion's time, and he got to have his offices there, and then Hines moved in and really enjoyed them. And then we have Thomas Kunkel.
Of course.
Who is probably the most gregarious of the of the presidents, and even would join the curmudgeons table, as you had mentioned before, at the cafeteria.
Well, we'd better hear a little bit about the curmudgeons before we get back to Tom.
Okay. Well, regrettably, we just lost one of the charter members who had been the former registrar at the college, Jan Curtis, who's lived in Tennessee for a number of years. And there are only about three of us originals still alive, and I'm the only one who comes to lunch. And their curmudgeons are people who are rather forthright in what they have to say. Shall we say blunt?
And they have opinions, and they have a good basis for their opinions.
We try, and we call on each other if our opinions don't hold up. Mm-hmm. Which I think is one of the greatest things about working at any institution of higher learning is there's so much knowledge, there's so many opinions, and you don't let people get away with opinions that don't have a basis in reality. Or at least you got to tell a really good story. And when people would join us, because the table was always open to anybody who was in the cafeteria and wanted to join us, we gave them a warning. You have to hold your own. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit there and be quiet. You have to say things. And it was wonderful. At times, a table that was built to seat eight people would have 12. Wow. We'd be literally cheek by jowl. And it was great times. I miss them. I really miss them. My personality.
Was Tom ever able to join? Sorry.
my personality is not such that it attracts the people that the bigger group used to. I'm sorry.
Oh, I strongly doubt that. But was Tom ever able to join you?
As a matter of fact, he joined us in the summer because I believe he took over the job on July 1st. And so during the summer, where there tend to be fewer people on campus and fewer people in the cafeteria, he came over and he stood and was talking to us. And I told him what the group was. And he said, oh, yes, I've heard of you. And he joined us. And he was able to join a number of times, as one of our past deans, Tom Trebon, would join us. And he would tell some very interesting self-deprecating jokes about himself too, which we appreciated.
I imagine they both could hold their own very well indeed.
Yes.
And Tom was another building president, and I associate him with an initiative that may have actually begun with Bill Hines, which was the setting aside of a certain sum of every new building project for missional art. So I think under Hines, we got the statue of Norbert, and one of Tom's last fundraising efforts was the conversion statue of Norbert.
Okay, all right, yeah. Well, the one of St. Norbert, which was sculpted by Paul Granlin from Gustavus Adolphus College over in St. Peter's, Minnesota, I was very, very much involved in that, and there were a couple of trips across the state of Wisconsin and into the Midlands of Minnesota to talk to the artist. And he was a very, very pleasant man and had a most intriguing wife who would have fit in with the curmudgeons very, really. She was, as we used to call it, a pistol.
Yeah.
And a wonderful person. And Paul is no longer among the living anymore, but the day that the statue came across Minnesota and Wisconsin on a flatbed trailer in its upright position, Paul made the comment that he thought of St. Norbert was really a transfer student from Gustavus Adolphus to St. Norbert. So, yeah, that's an image that has been used so many, many times in publications. It was the first really large statue of, and it's all conjecture as to what Norbert looked like. Of course.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just thinking of the translation of his earthly remains from Magdeburg to Strahov, and this was a different kind of translation.
Yes.
A bigger move, perhaps, from Minnesota to Wisconsin.
And a much taller image as well, because the statue of St. Norbert is something like 7 or 8 feet tall.
Yes.
Where Norbert was probably significantly shorter, being his time period.
Yeah. I think of Norbert as our first founder and Pennings as our more recent founder.
Okay.
And then from Pennings to Tom Kunkel, that's 7 presidents, but you still have more to account for.
And we still have Brian Brees, who, like myself, is an alum, as well as his wife, Carol Sessler Breese, mm-hmm. who took about one course from me because she was an art major. And I understand that she'll be moving to De Pere permanently this summer.
She has continued her life in art. I think she has an exhibit up in a coffee house in St. Paul right now. Yes.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, I look forward to seeing what art she has brought from, because I understand they have their own collection.
Yes.
For the President's House, as well as all the buildings in the President's House get to draw from the college's art collection to have pieces up on the wall. And I participated in that until this presidency, so I look forward to seeing what she's got. And President Breese has joined the curmudgeons a number of times as well. And at one event, he came late for an invitation, and everyone was leaving, and he got involved in a meeting, and another meeting some weeks later, he says he hopes he has been forgiven, that he'll be allowed to come back. And I said, you are always welcome. And sometimes he's been in the cafeteria with his carry-out lunch. He's going to take it back to his office, and he sees us, and instead he sits down, and he opens it, and he eats it with us. So. He's a very good choice. I've served with some very good presidents and some different kinds of personalities, and it's great. It's now having graduated over 50 years ago, and all these different perspectives is intriguing to look back on.
It's quite a streak.
Yeah.
And are you a Golden Knight?
I am a Golden Knight.
Congratulations.
Yes. Sir Donald.
A Golden Knight of 50 years since your graduation, right?
Yes.
Class of 67.
67/68.
Gotcha.
It's a little confusing there. Yeah. So I've seen so many changes on campus, not only the presidents, mm-hmm. but the structures and the programs, and having worked at the college for 27 years, lived with those because I was an academic advisor and a professor and all that. And sometimes retirement is not the easiest thing to go into, and others it's a relief. And in the relief column is I wouldn't want to have to advise the students anymore because the general studies program has changed for the many, many times, and just not up on it anymore.
No.
But that's why we have new people.
Well, that's true. And you're certainly up on the presidents, though,
yeah.
And it's kind of cool to hear the changes on campus associated with specific personalities.
And one of the things that I really enjoy is being an emeritus, because I am somewhat of a rare emeritus on the campus, is I still get to say we.
We. Oh, for sure. Forever, I hope.
Rather than you. Yeah.
That's
so
excellent.
Susan, it's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent.
We will file this for posterity.
Wonderful.